Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Well, good morning, Brian. You're so good at saying that every week.
Well, that's my job.
You just say, well,
you know, we all have jobs.
I know. Well, yes, we do. And I was thinking right before, you know, we went on the air, you do like voiceovers or right? Or you have?
I did. I used to do voiceovers when I owned the recording studio. So, you know, and I sang. So
Yes. I've heard you sing. Yes, because you put that out on Facebook and stuff. It's great. Because I was thinking as I was listening to our intro that the woman we had do this for us was a guest for us, and I was thinking how interesting that whole field is. You know, doing voiceover introductory work. That kind of thing. So
it's changed a lot over the years. I mean,
when I owned the recording studio,
we used to we'd pay people anywhere between $300 to $750 to come in, and some got even more than that, to come in for an hour into the recording studio to do a 30-second commercial. And nowadays with Fiverr and stuff like that, there you can go on Fiverr and find people to do it for $5. So, and a lot of the, you know, the recording studios have gone away, and the voiceover talent actually have studios, you know, they have the technology to do it right in their own home or their office. And so the cost of actually doing it is less expensive, but, you know, it's like anything else, is you have to find that niche where you get, you know, repetitive business so that you can, you know, constantly do things, you know, become, you know, like the guy who is the voice of, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy or Tony the Tiger, you know, where there's just it, there always is going to be work for you. You really have to kind of find those kind of things in order to continue to make it a really strong business.
Well, I was thinking of you, and I think I told you we were talking before we went on the air, that Brian is teaching me how to do podcasts. So I'm laughing because it's a really interesting process to go through this, because you kind of sit and talk to yourself into a microphone. But you had done the intro and the outro for me, and I was trying to, for lack of a better word, attach those to, you know, to the podcast. But you did such a great job of the intro and the outro. It's just so, it's so interesting with the technology and everything now. So anyway, good job.
Yeah, it is. It's just, it's amazing, you know, that and podcasting and all different, I mean, people making videos on their iPhones and things like that. I mean, there's,
you know,
technology has really changed things. It doesn't
really
take
has.
Away the basics. You know, there's still basic things that you need to be able to do, like lighting when you're doing a video and getting good audio when you're doing a video. And a lot of people just kind of bypass that stuff. And you really can tell the difference between somebody who understands, you know, the basics and the concepts and things like that, and somebody who doesn't. And one of the things about doing a podcast is I'm actually working on a new product. And the product is basic. It's how to interview. It's the anatomy of great interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a, you know, there is a theme and a concept to that stuff. And one of the core things that actually somebody interviewed me for, on Friday I had four different interviews. I had one in Carousel, one in Chicago, one in England, and one in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was people interviewing me. And it was just amazing the difference between the way that these people interviewed. But one of the things that I've learned over the course of time when you're interviewing people is, and this goes same for this show, is you ask questions based on what your audience wants to hear. And you do that from a learning standpoint for yourself. So you act as if you were your own audience, and then you try to get out of people the stuff that your audience wants to hear. You know, so you can learn things and they can learn things. And the ones who don't get it are the ones that are, you know, asking questions that are just so esoteric, like, you know, what is your favorite color? Like, most people really don't care what your favorite color is.
Well, they might, though, and we'll have to ask Glenn. I think his favorite color is blue, but I could be wrong.
Well, let's ask Glenn. Glenn, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Glenn. What's your favorite color?
I know you guys have been dying to know that, and I'm sure your audience
We have.
Well.
We want
to
know.
After listening to the conversation, it's cracking me up. Blue, to be, for the record.
There you go. You were right, Jim.
I told you. Well, no, I'll tell you why. It's because you have a great picture on your Twitter page, Glenn. It's wonderful. And the name of Glenn's company is 220 Communications. He's our guest today. And I love what you put here, Glenn. You said doing more before 8 a.m. than most people do in a week. And I think that is so great. So what time do you get up?
Oh, my goodness. Most days I wake up. That doesn't mean I get up, but I wake up about 5 most mornings.
Okay.
So usually I hop on to, I check sales, I check email, of course, which I'm usually checking that pretty often. But I try to get a lot done. There's a lot of thinking you can do in the morning. So I try to wake up early, get your brain going, actually before you even talk to people. And I was reading an article somewhere about you should have meetings, shouldn't take meetings until in the afternoon, because it allows your brain to really get up, get ready, get set for that, and get in that mode for meetings.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell
if you think about it, you're most alert. If you think about it, you're most alert like around noon, 1 o'clock. That's probably when you're at your peak. And I think that's why that article talked about that.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, or a lot about, yourself, particularly your company, 220 Communications, and how you started your company.
Okay. Well, thanks. My background is in marketing. I've worked for a number of companies. Like I started my career at General Electric many years ago. I spent a year at Leo Burnett. I worked for Discover Card. I spent a couple of years at Sears as well, in different marketing positions. So I always wanted to do something a little bit more creative. So the opportunity came to me because of my parents. They had an art business. They actually traveled to Africa and imported art from Ghana, Senegal, the Ivory Coast. So I started to help them put together art shows, and that's really how it started. I actually had an art company for a little while, kind of an offshoot of their business, where I represented visual artists as well as selling their African art, too. So we did shows for about once a quarter here in Chicago. Uh-huh. This was like early 2000, so like 99, 2000. From that point, I had a friend that asked me, she had written a book on single parenthood, and she'd asked me about helping her to market that. She had been to the art shows, and she thought, well, maybe there's a tie-in. So that's kind of my first venture into books and really into creating what's now 220 Communications. So we started doing these artistic events, and it really started out as an events company, marketing artists, musicians, and authors as well. So we would do a series of different events around the city that highlighted either one or all of these art forms. So around 5 years ago now, after repping a number of authors, I decided I wanted to really get into it and create the book from the beginning to the end. I wanted to have more of an influence on the finished product. I was looking at a lot of books that just weren't quite there in terms of marketing, in terms of how they told their story, things like that, and even just how they approached it. So I really wanted to work with this group and really turn it into something bigger. So that's where we started. The 220 Communications started, and 220 Publishing basically was kind of our first subsidiary, for lack of a better word. So one of our first divisions was 220 Publishing. After that, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, one of the artists that would perform at my events, he was putting out a new album, so we wanted to help with that. So we created a pseudo music division. So we basically took our finished product, helped her to get it out the door, distribution-wise, marketing, sales, events, things like that. So that gave us a whole nother business line to look at.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we continued with events. So we really liked doing events, but that can be a drain. Anybody that's done events knows that it really becomes a grind after a while. So
right.
We wanted to do things that were special. So we said, okay, we don't necessarily need to be at a bar every night having a networking event or whatever. Let's create an experience. So it's more of, what is it about? Well, what do we like doing? Well, I love wine. I'm a big fan of wine. So I was in Napa, and I got the idea to do what we call our wine crawls. I was in Napa, and they were doing these limo tours around Napa Valley where you could go and
take.
So I was like, I can do that in Chicago. Let me try it. I know enough people that drink, and I know enough wine bars. I've been to enough wine bars.
I can do this.
Yeah, I can do this. So about 2 years ago, we launched Wine Crawl Chicago, and we host it quarterly, and it's basically a private tour around the city, visiting wine bars. We incorporated food into it as well, so now it's a food and wine crawl. So it's been really popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, this year we went to Napa Valley. We actually did our first one in Napa Valley in February, and we're going back next February. We brought it to the western suburbs as well, just about 3 weeks ago. We did one in the western suburbs that was really successful, so we're going to do it again there in September. We are talking to other cities. We did Indianapolis. I'm sorry, let me back up. We did Indianapolis at the end of last year, and we are scheduled to go back to Indianapolis as well as Atlanta later in the year.
Oh,
and then we're
great.
Talking to some new cities as well. So it's actually really grown out of something that I thought just would be fun, has become really a business model now.
That sounds like so much fun. I mean, that you took something, because this is what we talk about a lot on this program, is how to take something that you really love to do, and if you want to, make it into a business for yourself and something that, you know, it allows you to do what you love and make money. What a concept. So
yeah, I don't think people think about that enough. I think people need to just kind of sit down and say, what do I really like to do? And then, you know, who else would like to do it? How do I really put it together? I don't know that we just seriously, critically think through our likes. We think through business. I mean, plenty of people sit down and say, okay, how do I start a business? Well, no, don't start with that. Don't start with how do I start a business. It's what do I like doing? What do I feel I'm good at? And then how do I transfer that skill over into possibly a money-making opportunity? I think we take a wrong approach to it.
Right. That's great advice.
Yep. That's exactly what we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, I like to talk, and I found a way to make money talking.
Right.
So no, excellent point. Yeah. No, thank you. Aside from the wine thing, which you do, tell us a little bit about how you help artists and entertainers and authors and things like that. What kind of things do you do to help them?
We do a lot with a lot of the people that are under our banner, either as a client or as a published author. We do a lot of best practices. And coming from corporate America, I knew a lot about just continuing education and how important continuing education was. So a lot of what we teach our authors, especially, I'll focus on them first. We talk to them about understanding that their book is a product and that it's a product that they need to sell and that they need to let people know about it. And there's hundreds of different ways they can let people know about it. I think that's the big thing. A lot of authors see books as their baby, and literally they treat it like their baby. It's under wraps, and they don't want anybody to touch it. And I'm like, well, no, that's not the reason you write. That's a diary. When you're writing for yourself and you want to keep it to yourself, it's a diary. It's not a book. So I remember having a conversation with somebody that wanted to write. And she was like, oh, I'm writing and everything. So I'm like, okay, well, send me your manuscript. We'll take a look at it. Well, I don't want to share it. I'm like, okay, well, enjoy your diary.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, you want me to publish it, but you don't want to share it. I'm like, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect in this conversation here. Something's not connecting.
Right.
So we talk to them about the ways that they should promote their books. We talk a lot about blogs. We're very heavy on blogs because I feel like writing a blog is a very good way to engage your audience as well as a new audience. I talk to them about writing about things that are off the topic of their book to get more attention and to start to gain attention. So maybe it might be writing about every day. One of my newer authors, she's actually doing a very good job. She started a blog, and she's writing about the journey to being published. I'm like, we all know you're going to have a book. You're an author, and we know that. So that's good, and that's going to be established, but you want to let people know who you are. So start to write about what it felt like submitting your manuscript, what it felt like waiting to see if we were going to publish you or not. You know, what's frustrated you about this process? What has, you know, what's made you happy about it? But I'm like, write about that. Make people know who you are. So we really talk about personalizing your image, your online image, your brand, personalizing it to pull people in and make people interested in what you're talking about. Then they will be interested in what your favorite color is because you talk to them about it and why it is. But you have to get them to that point. It's not just an answer. It's not just a simple, this is the color and this is it. This is why I like it. This is why my book cover is blue because, this is my favorite color or it's, you know, whatever reason it is. What's the history behind it? So just really becoming a person and humanizing that experience for people. People want to know more. And this is the age of being able to reach out, touch, and feel the people that they follow, either on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. Access, it's all about access. So providing access, we teach them a lot about that. The other things we do is we just talk about basic marketing principles. I share a lot of articles, a lot of TED Talks, a lot of things that are going on in the world with marketing, a lot of best practices in terms of what has been a success for other people in marketing their product, their brand, or whatever they're doing. So I do a lot of that with everybody, and including the people that work on our team as well. I think I want us to always be sharp and understand what's out there and what's going on, what's new and what's next. So really, really trying to keep the team sharp as well.
What do you think that the biggest challenge is for new authors?
I think the fact that there's 1,000 books published a day is a challenge. That's the one thing. It's how do I identify you? You're definitely the needle in the haystack when it comes to publishing. It's a tough business, not easy, but there have been some real successes. Some of the biggest books in the world were self-published books or independently published outside of the big houses in New York. So that's the first challenge. And once we sign an author, we kind of sit them down and say, okay, this is the real world. What's going to be different about your book? How do you get people to like your book? So that's one of the biggest challenges. The other is a lot of people see only the glamour side of being an author. They see the success stories. They see the J.K. Rowlings of the world. They see the 50 Shades of Grey, and they see, you know, the New York Times bestseller list. And that's great, but that's an exception to the rule. That's like telling a high schooler that he's going to go play in the NBA tomorrow and is going to be a superstar.
Right.
The odds are very, very low that actually is going to happen. You can name the people on one hand that have actually been able to do that. So same thing for publishing. It's the same thing. So understanding that it is a journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So that's the first thing, because there's a lot of just grand ideas of book publishing. I had a friend, and to this day it's hilarious because she wanted me to publish her book. And so we started to talk about it. We got into a conversation about it, and I was talking to her about, you know, well, you're going to have to do this. We're going to need you to make sure you're on Twitter, Goodreads, Hootsuite. You're going to have to manage, you know, your social media. You're going to have to start talking to people, as I talked about earlier, you know, becoming more engaged with people.
Right.
She's like, well, you know, I don't think I need to do that because I had like 100 people. I mean, I've got, she said something about, oh, you know, 10 or 20 people told me I should write a book. So this is going to be great. So all I need you to do, Glenn, is set up book signings across the country, and I'll travel to them, and that's all I'll do.
Okay.
After I got through laughing in her face, I told her, I'm like, so if I call Barnes & Noble now and I give them your name, you know, they're not going to be jumping like, oh, gosh, we've been waiting on you to call. we've got time set up now on Saturday for her to come sign. I'm like, it doesn't happen that way. I'm sorry.
No.
Nobody's knocking down your door for your book, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Kind of giving them a dose of reality. It's not always a pleasant
yeah.
dose, but it is a dose that they need. So
well,
now, those
I think
are the
people,
challenging things.
Yeah. Wow. I think people forget about J.K. Rowling and what she had to do to get to where
right.
she is.
Exactly. All the rejections. They have, yeah, and you have to understand that. You know, nobody
yeah.
becomes Stephen King overnight or anybody else
no.
for that matter overnight.
No.
You know?
Very few people get there. And if you're writing
yeah.
to make a boatload of money, then you're probably not in the right industry because.
yeah. yeah.
You're not,
exactly.
you know, it's very difficult to make a boatload of money.
Yeah.
So,
another
what,
challenge from a. I'm sorry,
yeah.
go ahead.
No,
I was going to say, I
challenge.
Spoke with a New York Times bestselling author, and one of the things that he said is that the average book sales of a self-published book, just off the, you know, coming off the shelf at Amazon or something like that, is 10.
Yeah.
I've heard
yeah.
150, but, you know, it's so, in you know, you can sell
yeah.
them while you're speaking and things like that, but it's
right.
like
right.
most people don't realize that, you know, to sell a million books is, like you said, it's a anomaly. It's not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's yeah. It used to be that average. Maybe 4 years ago, that average was 300. But then with the proliferation of CreateSpace and all
right.
these
mm-hmm.
do-it-yourself things, it probably is 10 now. you know,
yeah.
last year
yeah.
it had dwindled down to like 200, maybe, or 2 years ago it was about 200. But yeah, you're right. It's probably down to that now. We've really seen it. We created a publishing services division to handle people who
mm-hmm.
wanted to self-publish. So
mm-hmm.
if they want to maintain that independence, we're able to do that, and we kind of stay in the background. We do everything to get you a quality product out there.
Sure,
we've taken
sure.
in authors who had published on CreateSpace, and it's whatever you put in is what comes out. Garbage
right.
in, garbage out in terms of
right.
formatting, design, anything you put
right.
out there, and that's what you got to understand. So we actually try to have more of a heart and say, okay, we just really don't think this cover is going to work, or we don't think, you know,
right.
or your book's not formatted right, you know. So we're there giving
mm-hmm.
it a human touch, which helps. But that's, you know, it's very challenging. It's challenging to be a publisher, too, to say we can
absolutely.
Do more for you when you're saying, oh, I can do it through CreateSpace and do it myself, you know.
Right.
So that's a challenge as well. But, yeah,
oh,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's very hard. it is incredibly hard. I look at, and that's frustrating because I've had really good books that didn't sell, and then I had books that weren't as strong as the others. I won't say bad. You can't call any of your kids ugly. So
right.
I had books that weren't as strong as the other that out just sold by leaps and bounds, and you couldn't understand it because you thought, well, the content was solid in this book. This was a well-written book, you know,
right.
but the author didn't do enough to make sure people knew about it. You know, there's so much we can do
yes.
from a large scale. We can do a lot of mass advertising and things like that, but it still takes
mm-hmm.
that grassroots to get the book going. You really got to get that good word of mouth. And we even have
yeah.
now in our process, we craft a letter for authors to send
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to friends. We call it the friends and family letter. We send that to them
mm-hmm.
to say, this book is coming out. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
I want to start the groundswell. I want to start it quickly, you know. And we've got more access
yeah.
now. We've got a lot better access to interviews and press and things like that than we did when we started 5 years ago. But it's still very
right.
tough to
yeah.
get there. You know, it's definitely a journey. It's fun.
Mm.
It's fun when it's successful, but you don't always get that success.
Right.
Yeah.
When I started my book, I didn't realize just how many moving parts were in it, and I did it independently and then paid
mm-hmm.
individuals to do it. So I had a cover designer, an interior designer, an editor, a proofreader, and an indexer, and I did all my own publicity, and when it was all said and done, it still cost me $5,000 to do that book.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
wow.
considering...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? You know how much work goes into it, and then considering
right. oh,
yeah.
that, you know, the average book, even if it sells 300, you know, if you, let's just say you
mm-hmm.
sell 100, you have to make at least $500 a book and 100, you know, or $5 a book
yeah.
to sell 100 books to break even.
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right. Which luckily you have speaking behind you though. So what if you didn't?
Right.
What if you're not a speaker? What if you just wanted
right.
to write and that's what you
right.
wanted to do? Then yeah, you're looking at a long proposition on making your money back. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So that's that's one of the things when you're doing this, you got to actually think. It's wonderful to think that you're gonna write the hit song or have the hit book or do all those other things, but you really have to think like a business person first, and I think that's incredibly important.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's you really have to step out of that creative mindset and say, okay, what am I gonna do with this thing once it's done? What am I really gonna do with it? And what's it going to do? Who is it going to impact? Who am I talking to? And we do a lot of that up front now. We've learned our lesson on that as well. So we really push the authors sometimes into a space they don't want to be in to start really thinking about who's going to buy this book. And this is before it ever gets written, so that they can start to build their structure, their brand based on that.
So in 25 words or less, Glenn, tell us what you personally have learned from starting 220 Communications and publishing and your wine crawl and everything else that you've got going.
In 25 words or less, I have learned that it is really, really tough to start a business and make it successful, but it's incredibly rewarding when you do it. And the reward doesn't always come financially. It comes from the satisfaction of having someone tell their story, seeing how that story impacts other people, or giving people an experience that they wouldn't have done by themselves, taking them to new restaurants, trying new foods, just doing different things, getting people out of their comfort zone. That's been really rewarding for me as well. And I think I went over 25 words. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's okay. That's okay. she was just trying to keep her from going for 25,000.
1,000 words, exactly.
But no, I think that's awesome advice. It's creating that experience. It's the satisfaction and the success that you bring to other people that you value very highly, which is a very incredible way of doing things. So we've got just a couple of minutes left. We want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you. So, Glenn, if people wanted to get a hold of you or wanted to write a book and talk to you and maybe have you guys incubate it for them, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Sure. They can find me at Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, at 220communications.com. Easier than that, Glenn220 on Twitter. That's the easy one, Glenn with two N's.
Mm-hmm.
They can visit our website, 220communications.com, as well. We're actually rebuilding our website right now, so it's looking a little – well, I think we're directing people to Facebook, which is fine. But
you
they
are.
Can contact
you
us
are.
Either way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're directing people to Facebook right now. Any day now, that should be up and running, though. So
cool.
They can definitely go there as well. So, we're looking forward to that. So thank you all. I didn't say this at the beginning, but thank you for having me on, too. I really appreciate it.
Oh no,
it's our pleasure.
It was great having you on. Yeah, my friend Lynn Torrey is the one who had recommended you, Glenn, and you and I talked briefly a couple of months ago, and I was very excited to have you on because I really admire what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
It's spread over so many interesting industries and things that you love to do, and you've been able to put it all together. So that's really, and you do more before 8 a.m. than any of us do in a week. So, it's a win-win, man.
And I just want to say, Glenn, that when you do a wine and bacon tour, put me on the mailing list for that, okay?
Wine and bacon. Okay, I will I'll make a note of that, definitely.
All right, man.
Wine and bacon.
Thank you.
All right, well, thanks
thank
a lot.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care. All right, we got about 20 seconds here. Jan, that was fabulous. Another great guest that you brought on, and, very excited, and I loved his attitude and his concept and all this stuff.
He was a good guy. So everybody have a great week.
Yep, and it's going to be, we'll talk to you same bat time, same bat station. Check us out on iTunes. Give us a review, and we will talk to you guys next week. Have a good one. Bye, Jan.
Bye.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgameco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.